Welcome and good morning, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Story Break, the Writer's Room podcast, where three and sometimes four Hollywood professionals have an hour to turn a humble idea into a pitch, a trailer for an awesome movie. I am your host, Freddie Wong.
I'm Will Campos. I'm a screenwriter.
I'm Matt Arnold. That's it.
That's it, huh?
That's it.
And this week we are joined by Riley Rose Critchlow, star of stage and screen, star of our most recent foray into the world of online video, Anime Crimes Division Season 2, where you played Detective Diesel. And also, you also played another similarly automobile-themed character in Video Game High School.
Yeah.
Welcome to the podcast, Riley.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us.
Of course. I'm happy to be here.
Have you done stage?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up doing theater, okay. So, you know.
I feel like a lot of times people say star of stage and screen just as a thing, but like...
I feel like most actors have been both on the stage and the screen.
I feel like most humans have been in like a school play.
Also, I was never in a school play.
Never?
Were you the star of the stage?
I was Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz when I was 13.
Yes. That's pretty badass.
Yeah. And also, I want to be clear, Will and Matt, we don't run a rinky-dink bullshit podcast. We don't get any stars of just stage on here. Those people are not on this podcast. Anyway, this week, we're tackling one of an idea that we've actually had for quite a bit in terms of wanting to do it and not quite sure on it. And well, anyway, it's the Oregon Trail, everybody.
This week, we take you back to your fourth grade computer lab / history class collabo.
But mostly the computer lab.
So real quick, because I think everyone has played the Oregon Trail. I want to hear about everyone's Oregon Trail experiences, just because I'm so curious.
So I grew up in the woods on an island in Maine, and we did not have TV, but we did have one of those first Macs that were like
the Mac 2, the Apple 2.
Just a giant chunk of computer with like a playing card size screen. And I think that's what I first played Oregon Trail on. My dad and mom live around the corner from each other. You can see one house from the other. So I would walk over to my dad's house because he had the computer and play Oregon Trail. So just to set the scene for you, that's what I'm imagining. I definitely named the characters after my friends and or enemies, depending on, you know, if somebody had to die, that way I could prioritize a little bit.
That's a smart strategy.
You know what's interesting? You touch on something that's really interesting, because there's a game that I've played that we all do this for, which is XCOM, which is you name all your characters because they're like, couldn't name, and you're like, I'll put my friends in on it. Like, and that's a thing I think people keep from the Oregon Trail. But you know one thing you lose? You don't name your enemies in these games anymore because you run out of enemies as you're an adult. And that makes it harder when someone has
you
to die.
You run out of enemies.
Like, wait, what does that mean? Do you mean you killed your enemies?
What happened to all your enemies?
Or you've lost your enemies? What do you mean by that?
I mean, a little bit of both.
Freddy is beset on all sides.
As you grow older, you run out of enemies.
I also like
the Freddy Wong story.
You either die early or you eliminate your enemies.
It kind of implies that you also just still have expendable friends, though.
Exactly.
Well, like, now, you're like, there's a bunch of those that I don't keep up.
Now there's any one truth to adulthood.
Okay, Riley, will you give the audience just a quick summary of what the Oregon Trail is?
Sure, okay. I mean, if you haven't played Oregon Trail, I don't know who you are, first of all. But
isn't that an American thing?
But it might also be, I think kids are playing Fortnite now, even in school, so they may not play the Oregon Trail
anymore.
All right,
that's fair. So if you're 8 years old, let me tell you about Oregon Trail. So Oregon Trail is an educational game, I guess.
It is the quintessential edutainment game. Yeah,
because it's also like Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego? It's kind of like the same kind of like generation, I felt like, about like you're learning about geography or you're learning about history, kind of. Although all of us discovered pretty quickly that we knew very little about the actual history of the Oregon Trail.
Yeah.
But the idea is that you and your family of or friends or enemies are in a covered wagon and you're on your way through Oregon? To Oregon. You're trying to get to Oregon.
That was the sequel, Oregon Trail 2, The Ride Home, which was not really.
Is that real?
No.
It's like, oh my God.
Not as popular. It was from Independence, Missouri, right?
Yes, I believe you start in Independence, Missouri, and you make your way westward. I seem to remember a lot of fording rivers.
A lot of fording rivers, Buffalo Genocide.
You had to like stock up first. There were like a general store, and that's where you could make some like gameplay decisions.
Right.
Like, am I, or you could choose your profession. You're like, am I a banker? Am I super rich? Or like, am I a hunter and I'm good at hunting.
Yeah, better hunting or whatever. You can carry more meat or something. Yeah.
That was the Will Campo strategy of playing Oregon Trail, which was basically to load up on as many bullets as possible and then just go from there. Like one, because you could spec out your whip, like you could get like axles and like extra wheels and like more oxen and stuff. And I wouldn't do any of that shit. I would go bare bones, everything, and then just as many bullets as I could carry to then lay waste to the buffalo of the American West.
Yep. You know what's great about that? That just teaches such a beautiful American lesson, which
very
is you
American.
Can survive. Yeah. You can survive with enough 9mm bullets.
I know it. Also, I never had to question why the buffalo went extinct in class. I knew why.
You're like, oh yeah, because as soon as you see a buffalo, you shoot that fucker. Because
they're slow as
fast as possible. Because
there's a little mini game where you have to shoot the buffalo, and then there's also like little rabbits and shit that run around, and the buffalo are super easy to kill.
Why do you like carry so much meat? So I remember like the computer teacher would be like, man, like you don't need to keep hunting the animals, like you can only carry so much back. I'm like, yeah, I know, that's okay.
They're like, you can only like, carry 2 more pounds. The buffalo is like 800 pounds.
I'm gonna shoot that buffalo.
Yeah, there's a lot.
There's a lot of pieces of Oregon Trail. Right. So as you're going, you encounter various challenges along the way.
Snake bites.
But, and just randomly dying. It's randomly like I think the most important thing about the game is that you just randomly
your characters will get diseased.
Did any of you ever beat the game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a doctor. It's remarkably easy and boring. As a gun-toting, gun-slinging, machine gun-wielding doctor, it turns out it's really easy.
I remember wiping out a lot on the last river.
That's the big.
So there were a couple crucial choices you can make. Yeah. There was like, you know, what pace are you going to set for your wagon?
Yeah.
Like, you
know,
there was a couple forks in the road you could choose, but then it always came up to these rivers. And at the river, you had a couple options. You either shell out some money to pay a ferry, which
if you had the money,
which, you know, if you spent all your money on bullets, you didn't. Yeah. you could try to cock your wagon and float across the river, which would trigger a mini game where you had to like sort of like white water rapids, like dodge through the rocks and stuff like that. Or you could try to ford the river, which
is you just
plow your oxen straight into 12-foot deep raging water and
they
die.
Always die. There's like that moment where you're like, oh, they're going to
make it.
Yep. Like they get you like 70% across before they make sure that your oxen drown in front of you, and then they all like bob up and like float away. Where they're for sure.
I always forded the river. I just figured fucking go big or go home. I would go full speed, ford river, and just see how long it took if I could make it.
Wait, what was the downside of cocking the wagon and floating it? Did it cost you something?
You could tip over or like you could wreck. Like it was a little reflex mini
game.
But
why would you ever ford and not?
So fording, because the floating is actually more dangerous. Like people die. Usually when you ford the river, you like lose wheels and stuff.
Yeah, or like your food. But like floating down the river was like high risk, high reward. That was for the real adrenaline junkies. Yeah. That was like
also like the, like if that's like a real like we're you know real life cocking the wagon and floating it, does that mean you put the oxen inside the wagon?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I never understood the mechanics of cocking the wagon. Although, you know, Matt, being someone, you know, if you've done the Ford only speed runs, you'll know that.
you got to get those tall oxen.
100% only Ford.
Only Ford.
We're starting the clock.
We're starting the trail now towards.
Started the clock a while ago.
Finish podcast island. Let's go. Okay. We're going. All right.
What's this movie? Romantic comedy?
Well, so it does sound like we have our finale, which is a white knuckle, white water rafting sequence where
full of white people.
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah.
It's very, very.
Oh
white.
Yeah, Matt. Like you want to take a half second here to speak to the insanely problematic nature of a lot of what the Oregon Trail represents.
Let's jump right to the genocide.
Yeah. I mean, look, the actual Oregon Trail is laid by fur traders, and it was essentially after the War of 1812, and it was the beginning. It was, like, before, like, the government-led, like, Manifest Destiny. It was, like, the original, like, people trying to move westward to, you know, for a quote-unquote better life or religious persecution in regards of, like, the Mormons or also, you know, the kind of first run of the Gold Rush and stuff like that.
Oh, Gold Rush is another game. You guys play Gold Rush?
Oh, yeah.
That brother bun, man.
So, I guess what you're pointing to is, like, yes, obviously, the original pioneers were definitely traveling into... not exactly unclaimed land, just land claimed by people of that aren't white Americans.
All right, here's something I wanted to ask because I feel like this will affect these. Are we doing a movie about the Oregon Trail, or are we doing an adaptation of the video game The Oregon Trail?
Considering we just spent 20 minutes talking about the video game. The
and Oregon 30 Trail. Seconds talking about...
and we were just like, it happened genocide. After a war.
It was bad. It was not good. White people are terrible.
Okay.
So
also, I feel like even if you went to a studio right now, we're like, hey, we want to do a movie about the Oregon Trail, their first note would be like, it should be about the video game.
So, okay, yeah. So what does that mean? Here's my question. Is this, again, and this is, we've done plenty of these movies on Story Break. Is this like a Jumanji scenario where a bunch of fourth graders, like, are in their computer lab class and they don't want to learn because they want to play Fortnite, and then their teacher's like, you got to play Oregon Trail on this whack-ass old Apple IIe, and then they spill soda on it and they get sucked into the Oregon Trail?
I could see that. I mean, we got to, the first question is, how much stomach do we all have for children death?
I mean, I think it's an untapped market. I can't think of any very successful children death themed movies, so I feel like you've got a niche here.
How many kids die in it? Before we move on, I do want to point out that my mom has complained to me in person several times about the number of times Matt brings up children death on this podcast. She's like, Matt is always killing children in these stories. So
sorry, Ms. Campos. Children do die though in the real world.
True.
So, okay, because I was gonna say, because what you could do is, like, you know, a punk ass kid who's not taking class seriously and is like naming all of his naming all the people like Dorkface and Poophead or like the teachers and stuff like that. And she's like, you know, this was a really, you're trying to learn something from this video game. Like, this was a real experience. Like, you know, you privileged asshole. Like, you just get driven to school. Like, you don't understand. He's like, whatevs. Oregon Trail was lame. I could have done it. And she's like, yeah, we'll see about that. And then, like, you know,
Teacher puts him into the real Oregon. I mean, he's like, oh yeah, well, you want to see what hardship is? Try dip theory, a bitch.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
You know what I do like about that is that it speaks to the tendency to name the people. Like, right, like, well, it'd be kind of cool if he names like his crush and his enemy and his friend, right? Like,
so and then they all get
brought,
sucked
yeah,
in.
Yeah, they get brought in because it's a cursed computer.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I like the naming and then that bringing. Okay.
But that is the question. Is this a kid's movie? Are we going to upset your mom, or is this like a bunch of 30
I can always call my mom and tell her to not listen to the episode. And if mom, if you're listening, don't listen to the rest of this episode.
Well, if they get sucked into the game, you always have the out of, like, if they die in the game, they don't die in real life.
That's the most exciting trailer line in a movie. This is a story about the game.
Don't worry, Will's mom.
If they die in the game, they're fine. End of the movie.
Cool. Oregon Trail.
That'd be so... You don't understand. If you die in the game, you don't die in real life.
You get to go home and you're out of this adventure. Oh, cool.
All right. Well, putting the specter of child death aside for a second as we toy around with the concept, I am intrigued by a Jumanji with this. Like, that feels like, again, like that to me says it's the video game for sure.
Yeah, and you can avoid, you know, to a degree, some of the...
Well, you know what you can do is you can have that one character who's like, because now they're in the video game, right? And then in the video game, like, they're talking to the old prospectors and stuff, and like, we were friendly with all the Native Americans and everything. We all got along great when we went. They're like, that's not how this
works.
Actually. Worked. Yeah, like, the...
You can draw.
Oh, and you can have a diverse cast.
Yeah, you can have one of the kids as a Native American, like, in the class.
Ooh, that it's a bold choice.
Yeah, and then can you kill that kid? Or are you forced to make that kid survive to the end? Which gives the audience like, well, that kid's not going to die because they're not going to kill the Indian kid in this movie. And they're like, hey, it doesn't matter anyways, because if they die in the game, they just go back home.
See?
Thus sidestepping all of our problems.
Perfect.
If I was going to, if Dan Harmon was doing this, right, and this was a Community episode, he would steer straight. I feel like we see the elephant in the room, right?
We see the river we have to ford.
Yeah, right. And it's like, you got to ford that river.
You got to wade right line, through right? it.
So to me, this is a movie that is ultimately going to be kind of unpacking a lot of the, okay, so, all right.
Okay, wait, well, if they're in the game, then they, you know, they could ultimately make the decision of, like, is the goal that we think we're going for actually the goal that we want? Like, you know, maybe they come to, like, a literal fork in the road where they can either, like, complete the Western expansion or they can be like, you know what? Fuck this. I don't think this was a good choice. So,
do we really need Nevada?
Okay, to unpack this for a second, and again, we're shooting big game here because I know next to fucking nothing about any of this. You have that moment when you grow up, you're like, oh, everything I learned in history class was bullshit, right? Yes. Like the you learn this very
white
idealized, you learn a colonialist version of American history when
Except
you go
one
to
of
school.
My teachers was it literally assigned us people's history as our thing. So
sure, yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Fuck yeah.
If you went to a super froofy doofy school like Freddie, yeah. you got the good stuff.
Chances are at some point in your education you got one of those like ancient textbooks though, where you're like, what happened?
Is there a way to have this story grapple with that? Like, I'm not trying to start with like a bunch of heady themes and stuff like that, but like,
I think so. So what if the, you know, they, when they play the game, it's like this like dee dee dee, like very like cheery, like, and then they get to the end and whatever, and then they, when they're actually in the game, it's like it's the reality of history. And again, I'm not saying we have to like make a movie about but you know that they see and experience the difference between what they were taught and what the game looked like.
So, I mean, so the question really comes down to, from a cinematic standpoint, is the game the one that is like unrealistic and the kids are bringing the real knowledge, or is the right, or are the kids getting hit, slapped by the world with like, oh, this is what the
with
real
a realistic
thing was.
Version yeah. of, you know, finally being like immersed in. I mean, that, you know, that could like teach the lesson of like teaching true history and
I'm trying
its
to
value.
I'm very
one feels
about
very
this.
Preachy though.
Okay,
it does.
So because the other thing I don't want to run into is, was it like the new Tomb Raider game that has like that? This is the first Tomb Raider game where they're like, hey, Laura, maybe you shouldn't raid tombs. And yeah. it's like you're like, but here's 10,000 points for raiding some tombs, and yeah. it's like, what do you? I'm very conflicted.
What do you want me
at?
To do here?
What do you want me to do here? Are we gonna have this conversation or not?
Like, at least I was telling you, well, at least Pokemon had the guts to, they did a game where then like the bad guys were literally like, having Pokemon is torture. But then the response to the game was like, whatevs, no. They're like, no, you're wrong. If you say that, you're the bad guy. Whereas, yeah, the new Tomb Raider is like, oh, what she's doing is really problematic. And then, like, halfway through, they're like, yeah, but it is Tomb Raider. So, like, then you're like, well, now it's not fun. And you're sad. So.
But in terms of the core message of Oregon Trail, right? Yes. The core message of Oregon Trail isn't colonialism. I mean, it's obviously like based on
it's like survive with your
family. Yeah, the core message of Oregon Trail is that like it was really freaking hard. And right. like, and also I think what it taught kids is like, I mean, kind of like a lot of like children's games have that randomness, which is helpful because it tells you like the world's not fair, shit just happens.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter how good you are in the Oregon Trail, like people die.
Was there ever an option? Sorry, was there ever an option to just stop? If you got to the river and you're like, this is a hard river, it's like, you just quit right here.
I mean, you just leave.
I think you just ford the river and know that you're going to drown.
That's the Oregon Trail paints a completely unrealistic picture of there's nobody in the middle of the country.
Oh, I see. There's no version where you can be like, you know what?
We're good. We made it.
Yes.
This is my home now.
I mean, that's Colorado. Yeah. Colorado is literally everyone on the Oregon Trail being like, you see those fucking mountains? Are you kidding?
I don't think so.
Again? Fuck that. And then boom.
The game doesn't do
will,
that.
Right? Like, yeah.
This
well,
is
so
you know
one last curveball to throw because we talked about this beforehand, which is what if we just did the Oregon Trail, but it's just all the characters from Friends?
Listen, I will never shy away from all the characters from Friends.
You know what I mean? So it's
oh my God.
We could just use them as placeholder names. You can always change them later.
I knew Will's going to.
My head's going to explode and I'm going
to
have
a. So Chandler bought all the bullets.
What would Phoebe do on the Oregon
Who would be
Trail?
The first person to die?
Ross.
No, Ross would get sick and then just be in the back of the wagon.
The whole time complaining.
Complaining the whole time.
How many are in a wagon? Six?
I think how many you can fit in. Yeah.
Six, and then, you know, like a guest pioneer every week to show up.
Janice, yeah.
I think it's six. Yeah, maximum 6 to 7 people.
Okay.
So, plus or minus Janice.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I quit the podcast.
They get to the river, like, they get to Colorado. And Janet shows up. That's very good.
Can you imagine all the Friends fans finally getting a Friends? Like, they're like, we're bringing it back, but guess what?
They all get sucked into the Oregon Trail.
Okay. Okay.
Instead of an unrealistic New York apartment.
No one has a wagon that big. Who could afford a wagon that big?
Everyone's like, what?
Real, real, real serious question. How long do you think Ross and Rachel lasted after that finale?
We're 15 minutes into this Friends cast.
I mean, it's a very, you know.
I mean, they broke up immediately.
Broke up immediately.
I think she went back to Paris. She's like, I didn't get on the plane, but I still accepted the job and moved to Paris. I just took a different flight.
I accepted the job, and will you come and support me? And Roz is like, oh, but come on. No, that's not what I want to do. Okay. Oregon Trail. Will's like flipping out.
All right. I'm gonna put this to the floor because it seems like we are at a fork in the road ourselves. It seems like the momentum is going for Friends reboot. And I'm torn at that point where I'm like, what will make for a more entertaining podcast for what would hypothetically make a better movie? Although this Jumanji movie, I'm like,
I've seen it. It's called Jumanji.
Yeah, it's one of those. The kids go, and then there's a bunch of quirky jokes about video games. And, like, they got out at the end, right? Like, we know where that goes.
Yeah.
We know where we don't know where it goes.
What happens when you put Joey and Chandler in a covered wagon? Starting from Independence, it's a Friends reboot. And it's
what's funny is like this would have been a movie Matthew Perry would have done. In
absolutely,
I do.
I feel like maybe he did.
Yeah, I was about to say, did they do like Wagons this? West or something?
There was a he did the wasn't he in Almost Heroes with Chris
Almost
Farley?
Heroes.
Yeah. They did this all. Okay, all right, fuck it, we're going in on the Friends thing. All right,
oh yes.
So
Oregon, this episode's called Oregon Trail Friends Reboot.
Okay. So no, I will say one thing, which is that there is precedent for this, which is that, okay, I shit you not.
What
this,
are you talking about?
This is for real. There's a Chinese TV series that is like a Chinese knockoff of Friends.
Okay.
That is like, I can't remember the name of it. It was like a sort of like a sitcom that all the friends live in an apartment in Beijing, I think.
Yeah.
And then it was huge. And then it went away, and then they did a reunion movie. And what they didn't fucking tell anyone is that this reunion movie
took place on the Oregon Trail.
It turns into a crazy Indiana Jones adventure halfway through. It's like they all go for a beach vacation, and then they wind up like on a wacky adventure, like with like mercenaries coming after them, and it's like a whole like there's like I think a mystical artifact and like a whole crazy thing.
So anyway, you're saying it's already been done.
I'm saying that like we could point to that. I mean, people hated that movie apparently, but like
so
it
we
made
should
a ton
point
of-
to that.
I think there's also another controversy where like they bought up a bunch of tickets like this movie studio did to make it seem like it was a big box office smash. Anyway,
it's like for fans of the Oregon Trail and for fans of Friends, we have a movie that's for neither of you. Neither fan group.
All right. So here's my second question.
Okay.
All right. First of all, do we need to explain what Friends is to people?
Oh my God.
Does anyone not know what Friends is? God damn it.
That was Freddie. I just want to set the record clear that that was Freddie.
Friends, for anyone who was watching. Friends was a sitcom from the 1990s. It was gigantic. It was about six attractive 20-somethings living in an expensive apartment in New York. Joey, the lovable Lothario. Chandler, the neurotic, whiny, sarcastic asshole. Ross, the pathetic man.
Piece of shit.
The proto-incel friend zone guy who is into dinosaurs. Rachel, the spoiled rich girl who moves to the city after she, you know, runs away from her wedding. Monica, her uptight chef best friend who's like super OCD and like is like, you know, like type A, and Phoebe, the wacky one who is a hippie kind of and who sings songs about her cat.
Smelly cat.
Smelly cat. Okay, so that's the base template. All right. So I can't believe we're doing this. Okay. Is this, I bring this to the floor, is this the members of, is this the Friends and they wind up on the Oregon Trail? Or is this like we're
it's
doing
like their
like,
ancestors
or
all
is
met?
This, yes, or is this their ancestors?
Oh, shit. Also, is this being made today? Or are we saying that we made this the height of Friends time?
Like peak Friends.
No, we're doing it now.
Okay. I don't think we can bring time travel into the
equation. None of them died yet, right?
No.
Okay, here's a wild ass twist, y'all. Because when it starts, everyone's like, "Wait, but Friends is set in New York. How? Why their ancestors? I guess they all have to move back to New York." And the reveal is all their ancestors died on the fucking Oregon
Trail. Oh shit!
Trail.
Okay, no. Okay,
they all die. The one where they all die.
Look, I want to take this seriously for a second. If we're doing
Excuse
Friends
me, Matt?
With Oregon Trail, I want to take this seriously. So Monica and Chandler have a child. Let's assume that this is when that child has reached the age. That they'd be playing the Oregon Trail.
They have two children.
They have two children.
Oh, I see where you're going with this.
So they, and this is
there's actually a lot of children on Friends. There's Emma.
Yeah, there's all those kids.
Oh, yeah, there's Ben.
You want to feel old? All those kids have kids now, probably. Okay. We're talking grandchildren level of Friends.
Okay.
Okay, but I see where you're going.
I don't see
where Matt is going with is that like Chandler and Monica are with their kid, and they sit down to show the kid the Oregon Trail, and he's got to put the names in, and he puts in the names of all the friends, and then as he hits enter,
we go into the game,
and you hear dun, 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 dun,
on a banjo,
on a banjo, and then you do the intro credits, and it's all of them dancing around,
but in old timey
Independence, Missouri,
100%.
Yes.
What it'd be is that Ross brings Oregon Trail because he's fucking lame. They were playing like Fortnite. It's like, I got your kid an educational game. It's like my favorite educational game. It's
no, that definitely plays in. Uncle Ross. Yeah.
And then everybody like, and then they try to play it sweet because he's talking about like when he was old, but it's a little bit creepy. You're like,
just for a second, I want to say that Freddie, when we release this episode, we just have to call it the Friends reboot. And then when everyone is listening, they're like, what the fuck are they talking about Oregon Trail for? And then this comes out and they're like, God fucking damn it, I'm 30 minutes in, are you shitting me? All right, anyway, moving on.
I need a moment when he's setting up the game, when like the kid is typing in all the names, where he types in like Monica, Chandler, Ross, Rachel, Phoebe, and then he's like, and then my friend Kevin.
Yes. I was just going to say, like, there needs to be one new person that,
And
they're like, are you
Superman.
Sure you don't want Joey?
No, it's not just nobody. It is, she has a crush on a boy at school, and she's not talking to her parents about it. Mm-hmm. And then when she puts all the names in, she needs to put the seventh name, and she puts in Kevin. And then Chandler is going to meet his daughter's, it's on the adventure with his daughter's crush.
They're like, who's Kevin? And it just cuts to them silently sitting next to each other in the back of the covered wagon.
Like, oh, hi, I'm Kevin. I go to school with your daughter. It's like, what? What do you
know about That's guys, an amazing arc
okay,
because
okay,
he
okay.
has to save Kevin from, like, diphtheria.
Yes, and then he has to protect Kevin. They're like, just let him die. It's like, you can't let him die. He's in fourth grade.
This is like when
you're...
Is
Kevin a huge asshole? Is Kevin, like, a tiny asshole?
We'll have to figure out
We'll unpack Kevin in a second.
We'll unpack Kevin in a second.
I just
want to
say, for the record, that we saved the episode.
Okay, so this would be like 6 or 7 years after the Friends finale.
Matt, do you know when Friends ended?
What do you mean? Yeah, is that?
We're saying if the kids are going to be that.
If we're saying Chandler's kid.
Oh, yeah.
Because their kids were born in the last season.
Okay, this is a time travel. This is a hypothetical Friends reboot.
Yeah, it's like we did.
Just so you guys know. It's this Friends reboot isn't actually going to happen.
I don't know. They haven't heard it
yet. This episode yet.
Yes, because, all right. So we're going to say yes. This is post. Oh my God.
Okay.
So it's like recent past.
Recent past.
It's what? Like 2000.
How old is Matthew?
Okay. So we definitely need to do it in order to continue the whole Ross and Rachel dynamic. Is like very quickly you realize like Ross and Rachel definitely are not together.
I think, Ross and Rachel aren't speaking.
They're not speaking. So he comes in and they're like, hey, is Rachel? And they're like, hey, where's Rachel? I thought they were together. It's like, no. She's not here.
Okay. I just want to put this. So Matthew Perry's 49.
Yeah.
So Chandler would be, let's age that down and say that. Him and they're 45. Let's say, because I'm trying to get this as close to the current day as possible, just in case.
Yeah. Well, they do have their birthdays on the show, but it's fine.
I mean, the kid can be like a little bit because also
the kid would be like what?
You want Kevin to be a teenager?
What was what year did it end?
Okay, the show ended, I believe, in 2004, right?
Okay, so then
Friends,
six, if you want
finale.
The kid,
so
kid
14.
Is born.
Okay,
yeah. Yeah, it's happening. This
okay,
is happening.
Yes, all right.
It's We're happening as this. Long as we definitely shoot it this year.
Yes.
Okay, yes, 2004. So, yes, if they had a kid that was a baby in 2004, that baby is just fucking 14 now, right?
Perfect.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. Awesome.
And
man.
By the way, Chandler and Monica had twins. I just want to reiterate
that's
that.
That's right. Oh, they
so
did have twins.
Make, you know, if we're going to be
Monica
accurate about
yeah.
it. Yeah.
Was it boy? Was it boy-girl?
Boy-girl.
Boy-girl.
One of them died.
Okay. One of them's already dead at the top.
No, this will be so okay, are we following Barely? It's like all the adults get sucked into the game, right?
Are we saying they get sucked in, or are we saying that this is like a...
Oh, it's like they're inside the game.
No, it can't be like a dream sequence.
Or just like a game
sure.
sequence?
Okay. Yeah,
no, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ross bought it from, you know...
A cursed dealer.
Yeah, we have
the
to get problematic
somehow.
The guy
who sold the Mogwai. Like, he
yeah, exactly.
just down to... Did you want to bring gremlins into
behind
this too?
Behind the
or?
Gremlins was an old Apple IIe.
Yeah,
said, don't play Oregon Trail on it after midnight.
Okay.
Can that be the opening scene of the movie, yes, by the way?
Is absolutely.
It's Ross coming
into
this...
A shot-for-shot recreation of...
It's also a Gremlins reboot.
It's Ross coming into the store from Gremlins being like, I've got to get a present for my niece and nephew.
Yes.
Yes.
And well, we know who's doing Ross's voice in the trailer.
Okay, so
then we're talking about them getting sucked into the game like mysterious forces at work.
Because what I was going to say is, are you also following, if it's the twins, mm-hmm, then it can also be a sibling story because it'd be all the parents, all the adults get sucked into the game, and then you're on the other side, and the kids, the brother and sister who fight all the time, are having to come together in order to save their parents and all their friends. And Kevin, she's literally watching her crush in the game, like talking to her dad and whatnot. And then you can get that fun thing where like Chandler says something embarrassing and then you cut back. She's like, oh no, my dad said something embarrassing.
That's true. I kind of like cutting back to reality. I don't know if you need like a sibling,
a whole side
rivalry
story,
but that is definitely a way that you get to see all the other, you know, they're like, we don't know who to call. I don't know. Try Gunther, you know, like where you get
shit, that's really good. Maybe they have a way to send people into the game too, so then they can like,
oh, so like they can send him in as like this, like the prospect, like the ferry driver across the river, whatever.
This is very good because I was just gonna say, like, what's nice about that is depending on how much of the actual Friends cast you can afford or not afford, you change the ratio of how much cutting back the kids were doing.
Yeah, or who dies first? They're like, this is a movie. We only got Lisa Kudrow for one scene, so
is this a movie or a series?
This is a movie.
This is a $140 million.
This is like, or it's one of those sprawling like Arrested Development season 4 types things where it's just like, it was just a mess, and then they just, you know, they're like,
yeah, we can only film each of their Friends characters separately, so they all go in the wardrobe.
We have half an hour for this insane idea.
I mean, I feel like you have to go hard with this. Like, you have to go a little bit Sharknado with this if you're gonna have something so ridiculous, like as the Friends reboot feature film, finally, that we've all been anticipating forever, they're on the fucking Oregon Trail.
Are there twins tricking Gunther back into the computer game not crazy enough for you, Riley?
No, it's good.
Is this not Sharknado?
Saying, I want those hits throughout.
Okay. All right. First of all, this is Thanksgiving, right? Because Friends is all about, like, Friends
100%.
Was super iconic, these Thanksgiving episodes they would do. Yes. So we're going to do this Thanksgiving. This is the first Thanksgiving all the Friends are getting back together in a long time. Right.
And it's a big deal because Ross and Rachel haven't been speaking, but, you know, they're going to be in the same apartment
and Chandler's,
for the first time.
What are the twins' names?
Jack and Erica.
Holy shit.
Okay, so Chandler is upset that Erica is inviting her new boyfriend to the first... this is like a family event. Like, this is like to meet all your, you know, uncles and aunts again. Like,
and she's like,
Kevin?
14.
Yeah, and she's like, whatever, fuck it.
I don't know these dumb people.
You can't invite your friends. I'm inviting my friends.
I feel like Kevin has to be like 16. Yeah. And like, like hot.
I was thinking,
you know,
he's 16, he's 17, but doesn't have his driver's license yet.
He's a bad boy.
Yeah.
So we're gonna kill him.
Is he super sarcastic like Chandler?
Oh,
yes.
Shit.
Oh, and then she sees them together.
Yes,
she realizes.
And then she breaks up with Kevin. Okay, the realization.
We see Kevin being like, could this river be any deeper? Yeah. And she's like, no!
And it's very good. And then what she does at the end is she realizes, like, and then Chandler, of course, comes out. He's like, oh my God, you do love me. Your boyfriend was literally me. And she's like, no, I don't love you, Dad. He's like, you do. Your boyfriend is just like me. And then Micah's like, you need to stop saying that. You're going to traumatize her. He's like, it's okay. All I know is that my little girl loves me. And he walks out.
No, that's good because you can have that really heartfelt, like, very cringy moment. And then, and then Kevin has to die instantly right after that. Like, immediately. Like, you look at him and he just gets taken out by a fucking
buffalo.
They're
actually on the raft, like, hugging. And they're like, where's Kevin? And they turn and just see his hat floating in the river.
And then that's how we get rid of Kevin.
We also lost 14 pounds of jerky.
But then you find out that when you die in the game, you are fine in real life. And they come out and Kevin's just like, that was weird.
Oh, wait. So when they die in the game, do they pop back into the reality? Like, is the girl now alone with Kevin? Like, is Chandler going to try and kill himself so that he can go supervise?
No, I mean, here's how you do it. Here's how you do it is that you just do it so that it's an end reveal. You're like, and it turns out they were fine. You know, that way you can rob yourself of any. You can still have your sort of dramatic poignancy.
You can still have the feeling that a child is dying.
Okay, good.
But it just subverted at the end.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
All right. So
first Thanksgiving. So far, my notes just say, this is my notes right now. Gremlin / Thanksgiving. First Thanksgiving, Jack, Erica, Ross, Rachel, and then the number 15 for some reason.
The first Thanksgiving was another problematic.
Okay. Yes. Not their first Thanksgiving in a long time.
Here's what I want to do. This is, and again, especially since we're rounding the bases here towards home.
are we?
We got to run. What's going on with each of these friends on the on the Oregon trip?
Ultimately, right? I think this is the core of the movie is definitely going to be Chandler and Monica, like dealing with parent stuff.
Yes,
right?
And their
becoming
kid growing
parents.
Up.
Yes. Yeah. So let's talk about. Okay. So let's get back to that because that's going to be probably the meatiest. What's Joey up to?
Anything you want. in life or on the Oregon Trail?
On the Oregon. Well, so what's he doing in life? Because then what brings him to this Thanksgiving?
Yes,
right?
Because Oregon Trail is going to be the thing that teaches them. They're all going to, you know, struggle and get through
Wait,
whatever.
Didn't Joey have a spin-off TV series?
Yes.
This he did called Joey.
For example, like, you
so
know.
So canonically, that's what
happened
there?
To Joey?
I don't know.
This series
I didn't
centers on
it.
Joey, who struck out on his own and moved to Hollywood, hoping to truly make it as an actor. Joey says goodbye to a time when his friends were his family and welcomes a chance to turn his family into his friends.
Shit, that's really good. Know, how right? did this show not do well? That's the most killer tagline I've ever heard
killer
in my life.
Tagline. After reuniting with his high-strung sister, Gina, a strong and sexy hairdresser, the way the commas are in this sentence doesn't make any sense. Let me just go with that one again. After reuniting with his high-strung sister, Gina, a strong and sexy hairdresser, Joey, moves in with her genius 20-year-old son, a graduate student, Michael, who is literally a rocket scientist. What Joey lacks in book smarts, however, he more than makes up for with his people skills, making him the best new friend his nephew could ask for. Joey.
Wow.
It ran 2 seasons.
Okay, well, Joey obviously didn't make it as an actor, probably.
Yeah, we don't really like
struggling
seeing Joey
actor.
Successful.
Yeah, successful Joey's never fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, for example, like in terms of like the structure, because Phoebe, you know, you could do something like she's fallen out of art or whatever. Like they've had that episode where like you saw like they did the like
the parallel universe episode. Business Phoebe.
Where and it'd be like this attacks. Journey on the Oregon Trail, like, you know, when they're like down in the dumps and they're like, you know, freezing death by campfire. She pulls out like,
she
you know.
She sings Smelly Cat to cheer
she
them all up.
She sings some Smelly Cat and it warms their soul and she's like, oh, music is important to me or whatever. Like you need something that they just start the movie with.
Right.
That they're kind of dealing with and then just it's, you know. Plays and they all have like a little bit of an arc, and then the core will be this family story.
Okay, so and then you got Monica's freaking out about the germs. I'm like, Rachel, like, does she fall for a handsome, wealthy NPC who's also on like the banker on the Orchid Trail that they're all part of the wagon with? I guess she and Ross are going to be doing some Ross Rachel thing, right? Is that like the?
I think if we start at the top with where we left at the end of the series, so Ross and Rachel are together then. But I think we see them break up immediately, right?
Well, this is also like 10 years later.
Well, what if they're together, but they're
miserable?
The marriage is not doing well.
They're like, we're going to prove everybody wrong that we would stay together. They're like, you two should really.
Our love can conquer anything.
This should end with a happy divorce.
Oh.
Like they're like, you know what? Why are why are we still together? It's like the world wants us together. Okay.
So we're going to have to kill these people. I just want to remind us of the fact that death is an integral part of the Oregon Trail.
You're going to get that moment where, because normally it'd be like, you know, like, oh, I saw you die in the Oregon Trail and then I was so sad. And it's just like, you know what I felt when I saw you die, Ross? I felt relieved.
Shit. I'm beginning to think that
it's like, I was relieved that I did die. We shouldn't be together.
I'm beginning to think this is a hard idea.
You know, it's like the Oregon Trail itself. At first, it seemed seductive and peaceful and like a road to a better podcast episode. Yeah. But now I see that it's fraught with danger and peril. And we'll need all of our wits to get through
We'll need all of our bullets to kill these buffaloes.
I think it might solve it if when they die, they go, you see them back in reality. Like, they just pop between the two storylines. Mm-hmm. So that we're not, like, literally killing people off. And then we're like, and Joey is only in the first 10 minutes. Like, he just goes back to the... Because then you get to have the conflict, the boyfriend storyline sort of thing being played from both sides.
And then they're just like...
Here's the thing. What you need to figure out in a conceit like this is... So if we're not going to do you die in the game and you die in real life, right? Because we're saying that, yes, we don't want to be everyone's dead by the end of it. But you still want the fun of, like, you see, like, the dramatic death moment or whatever. How do you... Because obviously if their goal is just to get out of the game so that they can save Thanksgiving.
Is Kevin... Like, hot?
Can you, or it's like...
Is Kevin hot? Is that what you just asked?
Kevin hot? Caught.
We've already established Kevin's
so like
very
some
hot.
Oh, they have to rescue, like they
yeah,
can.
They
have
to, so they get out and they're like, and Chandler's like, well, we're all out of the game. It's like, no, no, you're not. Kevin's still in there. He's like, oh, well, that sucks. Anyways, like, you know, Thanksgiving time. He's like, you got to go back in the game and save my boyfriend.
Here's the other element of Oregon Trail that we may or may not want to play with, which is that there, you would play it multiple times. Like, you would fail and play it again and play it again. Like, mm-hmm. Is it a little, like, because you could do like a live, die, repeat sort of. Edge of Tomorrow.
You're gonna explode my brain, Riley. Okay, so they live, die, repeat meets Gremlins meets Friends, Oregon okay. Trail. Okay,
but I'm just saying if you know if it's like if it's not getting through the game once, if they keep going back and
oh
forth,
they have to get to oh
they have to have a successful run of the
it,
game.
That's what it is. Yes, because okay. Here's what you do: they're stuck in the game okay. until yes. Up top, you
thank
save
you.
The podcast again.
One more movie added in.
You're a
live,
fucking
die, repeat,
hero.
Edge of yep. Tomorrow.
Yes, no, you would do that. Yes, they can't get out of the game till they beat it. So yeah. That's a classic sitcom thing. You're trapped in this purgatory, right? They have to make it successfully across the Oregon Trail.
Then we see them die a lot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Over and over.
Well, you get that thing. They're like, okay, guys, let's take this one seriously. And they step in, and then just like Rachel turns around, and shoots Ross in the head.
They're like God damn it!
I've been wanting to do that for years.
And yes, it's like they need to come together in order to make it.
Okay, yes. And then the kids are on the outside. The two twins are on the outside. Mm-hmm. And they can talk to them via carrier pigeons or something like mm-hmm. that.
Yeah.
So then you would do like there's a scene. There's a part where they don't know which way to go. And they're trying to figure it out. Like, we need an expert. And Gunter's an expert on the whatever. So they have to go run and get him. And then he can, you know, show up in the game or whatever. They suck him in. Or he's sending missives from the coffee shop.
Of all the side characters you want in, is Gunther your number one choice?
Gunther's got to be in there, man.
Oh, that you've got to put like, they're like, oh, are we gonna take the ferry? We're going to ford the river. And then they look and the ferry driver's like Richard. And Chandler's like, we'll ford the river.
I think that's the way to get them in. It's yeah. just the characters
just,
in the yeah. game
are just randomly
characters.
There.
Characters. And yeah. then, yes, it's like, because they're inside the video game, they're like, their imagination is filling them in. Or
yeah.
whatever.
Oh, that's good. That's a
yeah,
good way
that
to
way
say.
You don't you yeah, have to,
that's
like,
actually really good. Yeah. Yes, 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 yes. Because okay. then they can all get mad. It's like, why are you still thinking about Richard? Why is he
yeah,
why
yeah. is Richard in our game?
Exactly.
Maybe you're the one thinking about Richard. Yeah.
And then Janice pops up and she's like, oh, excuse me.
Well, that's what you do. You do out of spite. He thinks up Janice because she thought of
oh, yeah.
He's like, all right, well, but you can play that game. Okay. It's like, what do you mean? What are you doing? And then
what
you
are you
like,
doing?
Oh my God. All right.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Freddie, how lost are you?
I did not watch enough Friends. I'm a little lost.
Oh no. Oh, no.
I know Janice. I know.
All right. Gunter is the hot.
No.
No. No. No. Gunter is the weirdo who works at the coffee
he's
shop that has a crush
he's
on
like
Rachel.
The albino, like.
Richard is Tom Selleck's studly mustachioed love interest to Monica. Who Chandler's already threatened
Gunther,
by,
yeah, yeah.
And then Janice is Chandler's ex-girlfriend.
Okay, so we've
all
established
right.
that they have to Let's... beat the game to get out of the game.
Yes, okay, so here just to give us a little structure, do our five-act thing, right? So your first act is all the friends coming together for Thanksgiving. The, you know, Chandler and Monica are hosting in their new house, mm-hmm. And they, you know, they're really nervous about having everybody over. Ross and Rachel are, you know, on the skids, so we want this all to go really well. The daughter brings the boyfriend over,
yeah.
right? And he's like, what's going on? Like, this is super weird. I don't want, you know, like, you know, who's this nerd? Like, what's his deal or whatever? Mm-hmm. And he's, you know, being...
Not nerd. Who's this hot?
Who's this
he's super
cool
hot.
Dude? So then you would do that. Okay, so Ross comes over and he's got Oregon Trail. And then... I don't know why they all play it, but they all play it. And then...
you think Monica's competitive?
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, they used to play it in when they were kids. And then
oh,
Ross,
that's why
and then Ross is
it.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we used to play it, but I would always beat Monica's high score. She's like, are you kidding me? You never even beat... And then they get
it's like the
fight.
Football trophy.
It's the football,
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good
so,
God.
The
luckily,
Geller Cup.
Yeah, luckily the sitcom's already set up all the conflicts we need in order to make it.
We just
work.
Have to cherry pick which storyline yes. is going mm-hmm. in.
You know what I realize? This is what it is. Both Friends and The Simpsons are essentially learning a second language, right? It's like learning Esperanto, where it's like you can now communicate on the level of just shorthand story, right? Like, it's
yeah.
like there's so many times you'd be like, yeah, this is what's this relationship? It's like, oh, it's this.
It's a football episode.
100%. I was in rehearsals for Merchant of Venice by William Shakespeare, and I was like, oh, it's like that when Phoebe said that thing. I literally said that in rehearsal.
And Drake was like, absolutely.
Because universal themes.
Universal themes. Okay. Yes, let's double down on, let's figure out this
This is very good, though. I do want to say that this is like this is as solid a Friends reboot as I think you could come up with.
Okay, I have one logistical clarification, and then let's get
only
to
one?
The... Yeah, only one. When they die, I don't think they come back into the real world.
No, they go right back to Independence, Missouri.
Yeah, well, actually, they just are in limbo until everybody's dying, and then they all come back at the same time.
No, they have to hang out in this big apartment in Independence, Missouri. And like even and like wait, no, there's a coffee shop there. There's a
there's definitely a coffee shop. Yes. Yeah. Oh no, absolutely.
Oh shit! What's the central perk of Independence?
I can help on this one. You guys keep going.
Okay. Freddy will come in 10 minutes from now with a good
with a really good pun.
All right. So through some wacky contrivance, they play or so. Okay. Because so Ross shows up with Oregon Trail. Be like, guess what? I got this game from our childhood that we used to play. I thought I could teach your kids about the Oregon Trail. Yeah. Oh, I'm Ross. Yeah. And then Monica's like, that's so stupid. You're not even that good at it. Blah, 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 blah. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. What is
Monica? Pitch perfect, Monica. Oh, yeah.
What is Monica and Chandler's thing?
Yeah. So I think it's got to be Chandler not being able to show vulnerability or emotion.
Yeah.
And so being unable to connect with his kids because everything's just a sarcastic joke.
Oh, and Monica of course, being the first time Monica died, she's like, did you cry when I died? And he's like, yes. And like, you didn't cry.
Oh, maybe you do. There was, what if you do that? Like there was a funeral or something.
There is a Chandler can't cry episode.
Yeah.
Oh, they already did a Chandler can't cry episode. Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
But yeah, if we're talking about something to connect them to parenting and connect them to the kids,
yeah,
I would say maybe it's that he can't get this connection. That way, when he goes to the whole thing with the boyfriend and like whatever, maybe that's something that like end up inevitably bringing them together.
The kids like Monica more than they like Chandler.
Oh, there
that's
you
the
go.
Crisis,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, like more Chandler. Is the
and he's like, but I'm the funny one. I'm the fun one. Like you're the mean one. You're the one who makes them do all their homework. Why do they should like me? I'm the cool one, right? And then they're like, no, that's why they don't like you, right?
Yeah.
You're like the lame friend. You're their lame friend. I'm their cool. I'm their good mom.
Okay, so that's cool. Okay, so like, is it?
No, keep going. I'm just saying that in 1831, Independence, Missouri, a big part of the Latter-day Saints movement. Joseph Smith declared like this is going to be the place where the temple for the New Jerusalem is going to be. So the place is called New Brewrusalem.
Oh, all
right, it's pretty good.
Oh, no,
it's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Okay, thank
Very
you. Go ahead.
Outstanding.
Thank you.
Okay. What's Monica's thing?
Okay. Monica wants to beat the game, right? Because she's competitive with Ross.
I think you give Monica and Ross the sibling rivalry thing. Because that kind of, that helps drive it, but also like takes care of them. Because there's so many of them.
Because they both want to be the leader of the team.
Yes. And also to dig in a little bit for Monica, to go into a little bit of the theme we're writing in our script, is that you could also do the reason she's so competitive and hyper. You reveal that she's dealing with. Like, I feel like the secret with Monica is also, like, she probably has, like, diagnosable anxiety and, like, OCD.
Because her mom is the worst.
Yeah, and it's, like, it should be that she is terrified of her kids leaving. Like, she's getting ready. They're getting, like, she's getting to the age where, just make them all, like, 16, 17. Like, they're getting ready to go to college. Mm-hmm. And that's why she's, like, so hyperactive. And, yeah, so, like, this, she starts taking this game so seriously because if she fails, she's, like, my kids are going to die.
That also plays into if she's upset at Chandler for not connecting, you know, or, like, if they don't like Chandler, then it's like, well, then he's another reason that they would want to leave. So,
yeah,
like,
they're going to leave because of you.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we've got Ross and Rachel.
So we want to see them fighting.
I think, all right, if you were going to do that, they did break up or they've been separated.
Yeah.
I wonder if you do, I think like one of them, like Rachel was like only going to be here for half an hour. Mm-hmm. Like she was only coming by to say hi. Mm-hmm. And then she was going to jet out to Paris for fashion week or whatever. Mm-hmm. Right. And then she gets sucked into the game and now she's stuck in limbo with the rest of the friends. Like I think, or maybe you do that with Joey or Phoebe or someone. I feel like that could be an angle for one of the friends. It's like they've moved on, but they haven't really moved on.
I like that. I think that works.
I'm trying to think of who you would do that with.
I think Rachel's good. I
think
like we were talking
the
about like
do.
She I think she went to Paris, man. I think she came she's cuz she all she says is I got off the plane. She doesn't say I changed my plans. So, yeah, I think she's in Paris. She comes back and she's got to get a flight. That is a storyline that they have in one of their Thanksgiving episodes when Rachel's going to Vail and they get locked out of the apartment and she can't get her tickets to go on the plane.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But that's fine. I think we want to see things, you know, as fans, we want to see some callbacks.
You want to see the same stories over and over again.
That's why you watch Friends.
Okay.
So did they get a divorce?
Maybe they haven't signed. Maybe Ross hasn't signed them papers.
Maybe Ross did go to Paris, too. Like, for the first time, he's like, okay, I'll try it. And then he hated it or cheated on her again.
He loved it and is
an
insufferable French professor now. like, he would, like, the French love Ross.
The French...
They went to Paris together, but everyone liked Ross.
Ross became the popular person.
Wow.
And nobody liked Rachel.
So they,
I don't know. That seems implausible.
It also just takes away literally everything about Ross's character, which is that people don't like.
Okay, all right.
Classically with Friends, right? You usually had like a Monica and Chandler storyline, a Ross and Rachel storyline, and then Phoebe and Joey doing whatever the fuck to entertain us in the meantime.
Doing the wacky thing.
Right. So I think we stick to that.
Yes.
Have them like sort of tied to each other.
I like what we have. I like with Chandler. He's like, the kids don't like me. And I think with Monica, I think she's concerned that, I think she's stressed, and I think she's also concerned that Ross isn't being a good dad to their kids or whatever. Especially if you're going to do like the Richard thing.
You mean Chandler?
Chandler, yeah.
Rachel and Ross's.
Yes. Okay, so then Rachel and Ross. Okay. So let's just figure out what Rachel and Ross is thinking.
We can make it as simple as the continuation of the "we were on a break" argument. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can like just pick that's like never dies.
Believe me, "we were on a break" will definitely show up.
It will definitely show up.
Oh, because it's definitely one of the first times Rachel's one of the first one to die,
and then he hooks up with a girl.
He's like, absolutely. "You hooked up with a video game girl. You were dead."
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. That would sort of like, okay, so I will say this is that like I feel like my only worry with like they're not together is that it feels like a bit of a retcon. I think you could do that they went to Paris or that like
they're, I like that they're together,
but it's not working. Like they're trying really hard to make it work. Seems like a
they
good
should break.
Spot
I feel like they
them.
Should break up at the end of this. Mm-hmm.
At the end,
yeah, I feel like it should be a happy divorce. Like I said, like it should be like, you know what, we should move our separate ways.
I mean,
or do you want
them
to end up happy at the end?
See, I feel like the epiphany they come to in the game is that their relationship is like this pattern, right? Their relationship is the Oregon Trail, where it's just hard, and there seems to be this promised land, but you never get there, and you just always wind up back where you started. Like,
yes.
That's the cycle that they're in.
Yeah,
right?
So they have to. So like it's like, the, like,
damn,
like,
Will.
Like, yeah, like
that's
so,
deep.
Damn.
Like Eternal Sunshine.
Ingmar Bergman's the Friends Oregon Trail reboot.
Yes. So at the end of Eternal Sunshine, they're separated
until they get back together,
yeah,
they?
But then they're gonna be separated again, right? Is the idea?
That's the point. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that's the whole story of Ross and Rachel is like on again, off again. You'll never have a definitive ending.
I mean, yes. Well, what if that's the? But what if it is like Eternal Sunshine, where it is despite all of it, this is their weird pattern, and they embrace it.
Yeah.
Like, all right, whatever. We're crazy.
I'm sorry. I like that.
Yeah, that's good. Okay.
I like that more than just they're gonna break up again. They've embraced the Ross Rachel will they won't they? Like,
okay.
They're Schrodinger's relationship.
Okay.
In which case, then I think I would do that. They're broken up at the beginning, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she's
back
and then
together.
You do that. But then they're like, oh, so you play into what the audience is thinking. Is really fucking this again? But then it's like they're like, yes, this is who we are.
But leaning into it so hard and then accepting.
They embrace their weird toxic relationship.
Yeah.
Can Phoebe just not be in the art anymore? And then
she's into art. Okay, Phoebe and Joey are like the X Factor.
Maybe
to me
Phoebe
right now.
Has become famous, which is what Joey wants.
Oh shit!
That's very good.
But what Phoebe doesn't want, right?
Yes,
Phoebe,
exactly.
Phoebe couldn't give a shit about that.
So
Joey's very jealous.
Yes, that's really good. That's really
really
good.
Giving her a sitcom.
Yeah. Okay. Oh my God. She's got a sitcom called Phoebe.
And it was successful.
And it's run for 9 seasons.
Yes.
It's in syndication.
Actually, if it's still going on, it's run for 14 seasons.
Yes, Phoebe is so fitting now. Like, as she became this cool, it is like, it's like Grace and Frankie. I don't know. I was just thinking, like, it's an older lady who just, like, lives in New York and, like, is, like, all musical and has friends. Like, that's
which
a
is actually kind of the reality, because the comeback was way better than Joey.
Yeah,
you know.
So.
Okay,
yes.
So then you would do that. Joey wants a role on her sitcom and has been bugging her for years about it.
Yes.
She's never given him. She's been like.
She's like, the producers. I don't know.
Yeah, whatever, right? So, like, he's trying to prove to her that he'd be good on this sitcom.
Okay,
right?
So what changes when they get into the Oregon Trail? Is she, like, relieved that nobody knows her anymore? Like, what is, like. Like, she never wants to get
or
out of the
Or I think she keeps falling into fame. I think no matter what she does,
she
accidentally does something. People are like, you're that lady that fixed the wagon, miraculous. Like, whatever it is. And Joey keeps trying really hard. And, like, people are just like want him to go
away. The first time they reset, they're like, well, at least everything changes. Like, hey, you're Phoebe. Like, how's the one thing the world remembers is Phoebe?
Totally.
Okay.
So I think she gets to be notorious.
Okay.
And then, I think you would do that.
Yeah, then Joey gets them in trouble.
Putrid cat. I did enjoy that lock.
Oh, my God. Yes.
so then, yes, Joey Joey constantly gets him in trouble by searching for fame out, right?
Right.
Like when there's a
chance. I'm going to become a hero of the West. Like,
yes,
again, like I've
yes.
got the cowboy look. Like this.
I need to buy all. He goes into the store. He's like, how many bullets do you need? And he slams his
yeah.
on the counter. All of them.
They're like, you didn't get any medicine or supply or what? And he's like, no, I'm a great shot.
Well, first, what it'd be is that he tries to be like a bard or like something like you know, a musician.
Well,
or
here's the question.
Like, here's but then he realizes, he's like, wait a second. Who's really famous isn't the people singing the guitar, isn't the person playing the guitar. It's all the heroes they're talking about. So then he's like, I'm going to become a cowboy hero. I'm going to become a
folk, like Paul Bunyan or something like that. Bunyan.
That's kind of fun because then he would need Phoebe to sing about him if Phoebe is.
That's how they come together. In
yes.
the
At the old Brew Jerusalem. Yeah, New Brew Jerusalem. She debuts her song about Joey. And
or maybe she's
it.
Got a song about him after they get out.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like,
oh, that's
the,
true.
And she's like, hey, I wrote this song about you.
Like
yeah.
How they're best friends.
Or he finally becomes famous in Oregon Trail, and then they go back to reality.
That's right. He becomes
reality.
A hero in Oregon Trail, then he's got to leave, and he's got to like go
and
to
Phoebe's
the fame.
Like, wasn't that fun? And he's like, yeah.
Yeah, or the ending is everybody, you know, goes down to, they're like, let's go Central Perk, and then everybody else goes in and closes the door, and he hops back into Oregon Trail.
Forever.
Forever.
Goodbye, cruel world.
I like that. That's like the scene after the credits.
It's him holding an Apple II
well,
standing
sequel.
In the bathtub.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be the sequel. Is the
it's
guy
called
going
Joey.
It's called Joey.
You guys missed Freddy's super dark Apple II, suicide by Apple II joke.
What?
He's just saying it ends with Joey holding an Apple II over a bathtub.
Jesus Christ.
And he's standing in there and he goes like, independence, here I come.
Independence.
Okay.
Okay.
That's all very good. So let's talk about
5 minutes.
Yeah,
okay.
we've got to figure out Kevin and we had
to go through the beats of the story, right?
Yeah.
So essentially you would do that. They get sucked into the game,
yeah.
right? And then it's like, great, we're sucked in this game. Could we be more sucked in this game? I gotta get to Paris Fashion Week. Whoa, we were on a break.
Putrid cat.
Okay, so you would do. Somehow they figure out that they need to beat the game to go. Right?
They go
yeah.
So that means they go through the game once and they start right.
Yeah. Well, they're like,
oh my god, what?
They die really quickly
yeah,
the first time.
Yeah. They yeah. get wrecked, right?
Yeah.
And then it's like, look, basically you're act two, you're into act three moment.
Ross is gonna be the one who's like, they'll just figure it out. Ross is like, we're gonna have to beat the only way we're gonna get out of this game is to beat the game,
and we're gonna have to work together.
Yeah.
Just like that movie Jumanji.
Monica and Chandler have Monica and
The kid, by
Ross,
the way,
realized that they both have to admit that actually the only time they ever beat the game as kids was when they worked together.
That's good.
Okay, so that's fun, and so then they're on the journey,
yeah.
right? So by the way, the kid should be explicitly talking the entire movie about how this is just the movie Jumanji. Can you guys see Jumanji? This is just Jumanji.
It's just Jumanji with that like Tom Cruise movie. Whatever.
They're like, we haven't heard of it, and then every time we cut back to him, he's like got the board game, and then he's got like the DVD, and he's like, see, like Jumanji, you don't know?
No one Jumanji. Okay, so then Act 3 is essentially this quest to beat the game,
yeah.
right? And so along the way, Chandler and the kid are bonding, and he's, you know, like, you know, X, Y, and Z. We're like, I'm trying to figure out. Like,
yeah.
You're playing yourself with Chandler and the kid. You're playing Monica and Ross's competitiveness. Like, I think mm-hmm. they try a couple of different times to go through the...
Different
challenges, right?
Yeah. Or they're like, I'll cock the wagon. I know how it's, you know, whatever.
Yeah. I think for Monica, I'm trying to like, it's like the empty nest thing is interesting. I'm trying to think if there's a deeper itch that's being scratched by the adventure than just like an anxiety that's playing out. Like, does she feel like she's lost her step or she's lost her edge? Did she just like, you know,
could they all find what they wanted in the game?
I think they have to.
Yes,
all essentially want to stay.
All right. They go on this adventure. They're struggling to overcome it.
I think we need to come up with an ending.
Yes.
Before we could just be like, yeah.
Obviously, they're going to get... I mean,
eventually going to beat the game.
Yes. They're going to beat the game.
They're going to beat the game. You probably, there's probably a ticking clock element in the real world. Like, they're not going to be able to get out of the game by the time Thanksgiving dinner happens,
yeah.
right? You know, like in the...
In the Locked in the Apartment episode, it's like the dinner gets ruined, it gets burnt. So, like, there's the Monica's being like, the turkey's in the oven! Okay, so there could be some element of, like, when they come back to reality, because we have the kids involved, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like, they feel like they've all figured out their own problems, and then they come back and their kids are literally doing exactly what their parents did. Like, they're falling into the same exact flaws.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's, like, sibling rivalry between Monica's kids. And there's, like, you know, the boyfriend, like, I don't know, maybe they were like, we were on a break with, like, Kevin and the, like, something where they, like, see themselves mirrored in.
Oh.
So it's like the end of The Wire.
Yes. Just like that. So if you can write The Wire down on your list,
it's just
well.
It's just the end of Cloud Atlas. It's like, we are doomed to repeat these stories again.
So it's
forms.
Eternal friendshine of the spotless Jumanji Wire Gremlins.
Tomorrow.
What's the all right, let's talk about the climax for a second. So it's like the fording the river, right? And it's like, you would do a thing where it's like, Ross has been wanting to ford the river the whole time, right? Or Joey's been wanting to ford the river or whatever, right? And so, like, they realize they have to ford the river.
I like the idea of Joey measuring the oxen. Like, measuring. Like, we can make it!
That's actually the first way he dies. He measures the oxen. Like, okay, now let me just measure the river. And he just walks through the river, gets swept away.
And, like, the thing pops up that's like, Joey has died of drowning.
Yeah.
You could also do that, like, they all have to make it out before
I was
any...
wondering if we could
they all have to make
that.
It together.
Yeah. That as soon as one of them dies, and because then you can get that montage in of, like, death.
Yeah.
Until you finally get your, you know, like, we've tried this a whole bunch of times, here's all the things that happened. And then you get back to your, like, main
I mean, the classic,
attempt.
Right? The classic thing. If we can, the classic thing would be they all have something. They all are bickering about something for Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, literally, if this was a Thanksgiving episode stretched for 2 hours and then with a budget of a Western, it would just be the episode is they all have something they want on Thanksgiving. It all gets ruined at the end, but then it's okay because they're all together. So they get out, and it's like the food that Monica was preparing is whatever. Chandler, you know, he doesn't care that his kid thinks Monica's cooler. Ross is whatever. They all have something that happened, and they come out of the game, and they're like, you know what really matters in the end after this 200-year journey of the
You got it. What do you
What if so everything gets ruined in the dinner and everything, whatever, but then they come back, and but like the twins have like made a dinner. Like they've like gone out and like done something for, you know what I mean? Like the kids have like come together and like created, they're like, we just went downstairs and we got, you know.
Yes, it's not. And the Monica is concerned that her kids aren't going to survive.
Right, because they're going to be just like Ross
and Chandler. And then, yes, I would do Chandler's not vulnerable. And when they come out and they and Monica sees that the kids found a way to
save everything,
make their own Thanksgiving, and
she knows they're going to be okay.
They're going to be okay. And Chandler cries.
Yes.
Because he knows the kids are moving on. Yeah.
Okay. And then, yeah, so that's like the heart of it is Chandler and Monica, anyways.
Okay. And then they all sit down for dinner. And then as they all go to leave, Ross and Rachel go in the same car because they're going on the same journey down wacky Ross and Rachel road again. And
like, you want to go
Joey
down this trail?
Joey goes back in the game.
Joey goes back in the game.
You want to go down this trail one last time? And then yes, Joey's about to go back in the game. Joey's about to go back in the game because he's sad. Everybody else is sad.
And then Phoebe
all
stops
sudden, him. All of a sudden, there's a little song come playing. And he turns around and it's Phoebe walking towards him with her guitar singing a song about how he's her best friend.
Yeah.
And he's very touched and he starts to well up. And then he pulls out his phone. He's like, I'm sorry, can you start that again?
By the way, Joey is definitely trying to be an Instagram influencer.
Oh, absolutely.
Now.
Yes.
That's what his thing is.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, why won't Phoebe follow me on Instagram?
Yes. Oh, yeah, Phoebe's not following
him.
That's
then it's,
like a big...
And then it's for Phoebe. It's like he doesn't understand that Phoebe hates being famous and that she doesn't want, you know, that to be their relationship, right?
In fact, he tries to... One of the first things, instead of saying Happy Thanksgiving, is he's like, hey, can I take a selfie with you? Because... her being in a selfie would give him more followers.
Yeah.
At the end, she's playing the song. He holds up the phone. He's like, can I get you really quick? She's like, she.
Yeah.
Okay.
We did it.
I mean, that's a thing. I'll tell you what, though. I would watch that.
Yes.
I would watch the shit out of that.
This is really destined to be a fanfiction.net writing. Like,
I feel like there's still one or two plot points I'm a little murky on.
No.
But
only one or two of it.
This is crystal clear.
I think for our purposes, we've got to take.
I think considering we did not come in prepared for the Oregon Trail meets Friends reboot, I think we did a pretty good job.
Or have we been prepared for this?
You've been prepared for this your whole life.
You know, no one told me the podcast was going to be this way.
Oh, my God. All right, on that zinger, when we come back, the trailer for the Friends Oregon Trail Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind Gremlins Die Repeat.
Welcome, everyone, to the live wrestling spectacular in Los Angeles.
So far, the world's most boring wrestling podcast has been destroying the competition.
Isn't there anyone who can save us from this travesty?
Wait, could it be?
It's Tights and Fights, the perfect wrestling podcast.
Tights and Fights is here to save us from the monotony of boring wrestling podcasts with hilarious conversations.
Woke trips through the history of wrestling.
And joke about the finer points of people wearing spandex.
What a match!
And the Tights and Fights podcast will be back every week.
Thursdays on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get podcasts. Please, these hosts have families.
Tights and Fights podcast. Tights and Fights.
And now, a story break movie trailer.
This Thanksgiving, if you're going to fully grapple with the brutality of white supremacist colonialism in the American West, you're going to need a few
friends. The one where they get sucked into an Oregon Trail video game. All your favorite friends are back, like Joey,
a giant white lady from John Gass' seminal 1872 painting American Progress. How you doing?
Phoebe.
Putrid cat, what are they feeding you?
Monica and Chandler.
So if we die in the game, we go all the way back to the beginning.
Could this be any more Edge of Tomorrow?
I know!
And Ross and Rachel.
You slept with an NPC after I died of dysentery?
We were on a break!
New York Times raves. Now that's edutainment.
Oh my God.
Janice?
So this Turkey Day, call your friends, hop into your covered wagon, spend all your money on bullets, slaughter thousands of buffalo, and ford your way through the river to your local cinema to see Friends.
The one where they all get sucked into an Oregon Trail video game.
Well, we've done it, folks. Ladies and gentlemen, we've made a movie that absolutely no Friends fans and no video game fans could ever.
Hey, this Friends and video game fan would watch the shit out of this.
I am sad that it might not happen, because it could. If anyone knows the Friends, hit us up.
Send them this podcast. Like,
thanks everybody for hanging around, sticking around, listening to it.
Why do you sound like they're doing us a favor for sticking around? They had a great time.
That's true.
Hey, no. Story Break fans, you're welcome.
You're welcome. Thanks for sticking around for our stupid thing.
Will, what do we got this week from the world of fan art?
We got some incredible fan art this week, Freddie. Tons of really, really good stuff that I am very excited to share with you right now. So thanks to Mitchell Burton for sending us a pair of posters. One for Peach is the Warmest Color, his Bowsette poster. And then he also sent us a very sexy poster for Et tu Kool-Aid Tambien from that one riff we did on the Kool-Aid episode where the Kool-Aid man went on a sexy road trip with two people across the country. We also got a poster for Donkey Kong Gorilla Revolution for the Che Guevara Donkey Kong t-shirt.
Holy shit, that's really good. Who did that?
That would be Will-E at Wilhelm_E on Twitter. So thank you to Will, I'm assuming. So someone's got to get T-Fury on that right away.
Well, we're going to see that you're going to put these up on Facebook, right?
These will be on Facebook, and then they're on the Twitter account as well. We got a really great fan-written scene from the Bowsette movie from Mirzy Marzipan on Twitter. They wrote a scene where it's kind of from Act 4 where Bowsette is talking with Peach, and like it's kind of like the real kind of heart-to-heart moment. It's really, really good, very touching. So thank you to Mirzy for writing that. And we also got from our friend Nick Fegley, creator of the B-movie video game.
Oh my God. Yes.
We've got a second video game.
What?
For Kangaroo Tennis.
Holy shit.
And Freddie, boy oh boy, let me tell you, this video game is the bee's
banger.
Knees.
This is a club banger.
It has like 8 playable characters.
Holy shit.
Me, you, and Matt are in the game. All the characters from your favorite episode, Kangaroo Court, are in that game. You can play tennis with them. They all have different stats and abilities. It is a really, really fun game. That's on our Twitter and Facebook as well. So go check that out and play the shit out of that. Thank you again to Nick Fegley for that.
What's the actual link to that one?
It is arcadonaut.com/game/tennis.
Wow, Matt, your strength is maxed out. What are my stats?
Oh, shit. Yeah, what are Freddy's stats?
Will's like a good all-arounder.
I got that Freddy's speed.
Freddy's got speed.
I'm going to beat Freddy in this right now. You keep doing whatever this is that we do right now.
Thank you to all our fans who submitted and continue to submit fan art and fan
and
dude
fan
ones.
Video games.
And fan video games. And we will always try to boost those out when we get them.
All right. And also, by the way, thank you, Riley.
You're welcome.
For showing up.
Thanks,
on the podcast.
Riley.
Riley, you do another podcast. Tell us about it.
I co-host a weekly comedy feminist podcast called Hags with Nicole Weiland. And that comes out every Tuesday.
Where can we find that?
iTunes, Stitcher, on the World Wide Web.
And do you have like a Twitter?
Yeah, you can follow us at Hags Podcast across all platforms.
Very cool. And also, I believe you were telling us beforehand that your psychic friend has one coming out.
Yeah, there is an amazing and very real psychic named Debbie Dorfman. Mm-hmm. You may have heard her on the hit podcast Done Disappeared by John David Booter. If you're not familiar, make yourselves familiar. It's very worth it. Debbie is coming out with her own spinoff podcast, which premieres October 13th. Which may or may not be in the past or the future at this point. And it's called I Already Knew That with Psychic Debbie Dorfman. So very I highly cool. recommend that real podcast by a definite real human and not an actor.
Very cool. Thank you again to Maximum Fun for having us on the old podcast network and Cameron Covell for slicing and dicing these episodes and these trailers.
Wait, what else is...
What else? There's also something else that Riley's in that's coming out.
Of course, the season 2 finale of Anime Crimes Division.
Woo!
The thrilling conclusion of season 2 available on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/rocketjump, as well as Crunchyroll, this Friday, 1 p.m. Pacific. So be there.
Riley
be
turns
square.
In, if there was any justice in this world, an Emmy Award winning performance in this finale. But unfortunately,
spoiler,
the
I may or may not be alive.
Yeah, I'll be alive. That's true. Yeah, your performance
is
very short.
You kind of let the cat out of the bag there.
Oh, no. Diesel doesn't get shot in the first second of the finale, everybody.
All right. Until next time, folks. Thank you again, Riley.
Thanks. Thanks for having me. It was very, very fun and ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's what we aspire to here at Storybreak. And our sign-off is we go around the circle and then we all say a single word to form a sentence. So why don't you start us off?
Because we're too lazy to write an actual sign-off. So okay. This is our sign-off.
Friends.
Are.
The.
Best.
Will always finishes it.
I don't know how that works, but I do every time, and I frankly have a gift for it. Thanks, everyone.
Friends are the best.
Hi, I'm Allie Gertz.
And I'm Julia Prescott, and we're the host of
Everything's Coming Up Simpsons.
Every episode, we cover a different episode of The Simpsons that is a favorite of our special guests.
We've had guests that are showrunners and writers and voice actors like Nancy Cartwright.
I got a D minus, I passed!
And we've also had people that are on the Max Fun Network already.
Homer wearing that golf outfit is so funny.
It.
And then there's, when he gets super into golf, he's wearing the golf hat in
bed. We've had Weird Al Yankovic on the show.
I was just struck by how sharp the writing is. I mean, that's no surprise because it's The Simpsons, but I mean, like, you can't say that about a lot of TV shows, particularly ones that at that point have been on the air for 14 years.
Find us on MaximumFun.org, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, smell you later.